listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, we have Michael Kelly behind and in front of the scenes producing the program. Welcome, son.
Good evening, everybody.
Good to have everybody with us. We welcome those joining us live as well as those joining us in the archives. We appreciate you spending some time with us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and families of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, including counseling, coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal, and many other areas, and Thomas Francis University at TF University, which offers standalone courses, diploma programs, and degree programs as well. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief, which is customary for our program. We have 9 principles of belief, and this is the abbreviated form. The expanded form can be seen at our website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'll read the 9 principles. Number 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, you can read more about these as well as join our church at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Tonight, we're going to talk about a few items. We're going to talk about a couple of news stories, metaphysical news stories. And, of course, we will pull cards from our inner oracle card deck, which is a set of self-discovery cards that we created a year or two ago. And these cards have face values, statements on them, and a guidebook that explains each one. And what they do is these are all the concepts taught in metaphysical humanism. They're the concepts taught in our degree programs and our course curriculum. So if you would like to have a card pulled in a few minutes, you can start putting your name in the chat room, and we'll certainly get to that in a few minutes. I did want to mention real quick, too, I talked about this a couple, 3 weeks ago. We were out of stock on the inner oracle card decks. If you want to order a deck, you can. It's just go to metaphysicalhumanism.org and look on the menu for the store, and you'll see them there. And the place where I have them produced is just taking a long time. And anyway, I've been in contact with them today. They're supposed to ship tomorrow. I apologize for the delay. I know some of you have ordered them, and they're just sitting there waiting to. I'm waiting to receive them so I can ship them to you. So hopefully, if hell freezes over, we'll have them in a few days, and then I'll ship them out to you. So that's an update on that. So let's start, Dr. Hunter, with your news story, and then we'll go from there.
Well, you know, I love going through the internet and finding interesting little bits of news, and you know, sometimes it's metaphysically related, or and sometimes it's not. But I think everything has that kind of like new exploration, and we as a species continue to learn and grow and so on. This story really touched me for a number of reasons, and I'll explain in a second. But the story simply is about how they have discovered zebra finch, those little beautiful little birds, actually sing to their eggs that changes the chick's behavior and adaptability to heat. Now just stay with me for a sec, because when I read this, I'm trying to understand what does this mean and what are the implications here? Well, if it's particularly hot weather, the finch will have a particular song that they sing to the eggs, the unhatched eggs. These particular eggs tend to hatch out very light and lighter type of chick that doesn't look as healthy as other ones that have not been sung to. Now, oddly enough, that over a period of time, those very same chicks that are lighter are more enduring to heat. So not only does this, you know, if we talk about climate changes or so on, they're talking about, scientists are talking about an adaptability of this particular species to hotter temperatures. But there's other implications here that the chicks are able to communicate in the egg with the parent, and apparently both parents will do this. So here's the thing. The mom sings a particular song, saying it's really hot out here. The baby says, oh, I better conserve some energy. It starts to retreat its growth a little bit, but it'll still hatch out. And that lighter bird will endure longer and healthier. The other interesting thing, as scientists have watched that those chicks, they produce really healthy offspring and even more than other offspring that have not had this song sung to them because the weather wasn't that hot. I know it sounds complicated, but I think that this is fascinating. They're saying that, of course, we are losing an awful lot of bird species or other species because of temperature changes, and whether that's a particular geography or otherwise, it's debatable. But when birds are heavier, they don't endure the heat as well. Now, this zebra finch has opened up a whole new area of study. Now, I was also thinking about when I had children, and I know men can't necessarily, you know, relate to this, but when I had children, I would talk to babies before they're born. So they're in utero, I'm talking to them, especially with my son, who was my third. Of course, I'm a little wiser, older, and more clued in. I made sure that I had this routine, and every night I would play classical music and meditate and go to bed at the same time. And I particularly liked Vivaldi, the heartbeat, and saying, wow, you know, I think this is really cool, you know, how you can have a calm baby and so on. Well, I think that there is an awful lot of influence that we have on the unborn, for a myriad of reasons. But what really strikes to mind is that I have never met a kid like my son who hates classical music more. So, I mean, that kind of backfired on me. I think maybe I overdosed this kid on a particular type of music. But there's, you know, we have been studying the unborn human fetus for a long time, and there's all kinds of theories, and everybody goes on tangents all, you know, all the time. Different one, different year. But what this is now opening, what scientists are now opening up to, is how the animal kingdom, which is so, to me, it just, I don't know, it just brings joy to my heart that we're actually starting to pay attention to how animals communicate with their young. And they're young before they're born. It's totally fascinating. So if anybody is interested to read up more, because it can be, it's quite a story involved here. Zebra finch heat song, and it's kind of the headline. And I think any, there's a whole number of websites that are hosting this story right now. The best one I found is off of BBC. I really like BBC Science and New Science and Environment section. They seem to be really up to date on latest technologies, whether that's, you know, out there in space or whether, you know, animals and where they are and what's extinct and what's not. So it's a really good page to tune into, but that's where you'll find the story on the zebra finch. The implications are huge, and I think it's exciting.
Good. All right, so let's I'm going to just briefly mention a couple of points here. And you may have more to add to this than I do, but one of our graduates from South Africa sent this email to me, and she uses laughter in her counseling coaching sessions and talking about laughter yoga. And she had mentioned that there's a website, I'll put it in the chat, that one fellow was able to really basically, I don't even know if recover is the right word, but he helped his MS significantly with this laughter yoga. He was in a wheelchair. I'll put the link in the chat room. The link is, for those listening to the archive, is http://, the usual. And it's lou.p, as in Paul, m as in Mary, /TMS. So lou.pm/TMS. I'll put that in the chat if anybody wants to look at it later. Just don't get too involved. If you're listening to this live, don't go there yet. You can open it, but don't, you know, stay with us is what I'm trying to say. I post that at that risk. So that was an interesting thing. And she, graduate, also mentions how some people don't have a difficult time taking part in this laughter wellness, a.k.a. laughter yoga, because, one lady said their joy comes from the Lord, so I guess you can't get involved in laughing if your joy comes from the Lord. But they have a lot of responses of why they don't feel comfortable doing that. And so the point she's making is when it comes to meditation, when she's working with people, some people don't like that word. So it's a matter of trying to, how do I put this, trying to read your clientele, read the client, get to know them a little bit, choose your words carefully. Walk with them a while before you can, help to redirect them into a healthier direction. I'm not sure what else to offer on this particular point. Anything you have, Dr. Vicki?
You know, laughter therapy has been around for quite a while, and it's used in many venues, whether that's your general counseling or actual laughter therapy. And there's different levels of laughter, and the intention is to have you feel a belly laugh, you know, the one of those real deep, oh my God, belly laugh, you know, that releases. It's kind of the equivalent of tears, I suppose. It's a relief and a release, but in a positive, a really good, a good form. But it also gets us into humor when things are your darkest time. Finding humor when all else fails, what have you got is humor. And so I totally recommend anyone to use various forms of laughter therapy, like what is funny to you, or, you know, what is humorous to you. It changes your consciousness. It changes your frequency. So I think it's a great venue.
I think it's great. You know, it is. I went to a seminar many years ago, back in 1999. So I was like 3 years old at the time. Do you believe that? I wouldn't. Anyway, so I'm at the seminar in New Orleans, I believe it was, it was in New Orleans. And the speaker happened to be Ed Foreman, who I had never heard of nor heard before. And he pretty quickly became one of my favorite motivational speakers. And, maybe you've heard of him, but he... In his presentation, he was, about positive thinking and all that, and he was quite a dynamic speaker. And so he had the whole group stand up, and I don't forget how long a period, it was like 5 or 10 seconds. And he says, I want you just to laugh as hard as you can. So we all did, for whatever it was, a few seconds. And, you know, we all stop. He said, great, 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 but that wasn't good enough. Now I want to hear some, you know, belly, what does he call it, belly laughing, gas passing laughter. You know, he just, and people just erupted, and not in a smelly way, but, you know, laughing. And after it was done, you just felt lighter. You know, it's what we do. And I'll be the first to tell you I don't laugh enough, and I need to laugh more. So it's a good thing.
Well, I think part of it is what kinds of humor do we share, and if you're really interested in discovering more about yourself and what makes you laugh, is go through a number of comedians, you know, go through YouTube or, you know, go find comedian sites and the registries. Actually, each country has a registry of working comedians, and find out kind of where you tend to go, and you'll learn a lot about yourself. I think some ridiculous things are funny myself. And, you know, down on my father's side, they're the British type, and it's very dry and witty and sometimes sarcastic and sometimes goes over people's heads, and that's even funnier to me, you know? So you get to find things that make you feel lighthearted and discover more about yourself through the release of laughter. And not only that, you find that middle ground with other people of what, you know, okay, I think that's funny, but you got to know somebody else isn't going to think that's funny. So that caution. So you get to know other people too. So yourself, others, groups, communities, but it's just such good therapy.
All right. So I'm going to talk about another metaphysical news story. I just wanted to mention that if you'd like a card pulled for you tonight, go ahead and start putting your name in the chat and somebody will write it down, because I can't talk and write at the same time. But the story that I want to share, and let me preface it with this. You know, metaphysics is essentially the study of consciousness and existence, and it covers everything we do. It covers everything from personal growth, spiritual growth, to, you know, anomalous stuff, mysterious stuff, paranormal, and so forth, and everything in between. Well, this article is posted in the Huffington Post a couple of days ago in their wellness section, so if you want to look it up, you can. It was an article written by Dr. Travis Bradbury, and the title of it is 9 Habits of Highly Emotional Intelligent People. So, and I've read over this, and yeah, I agree with it. I mean, and it's, we teach this in many ways, and teach about everything that's mentioned here in our degree program. But I just like to read some of these, and it's all about self-awareness, obviously. So I'm going to read these 9 points, maybe comment on one or two of them. Now, here's the first one, and again, the title is 9 Habits of Highly Emotional Intelligent People, Emotionally Intelligent. Now, you've probably heard that term before. It's also known as assertiveness. But here it is. Number one, they're relentlessly positive. So they are looking for the positive. They're always focused on the positive. Even when things are not going so well, they're looking for the positive side. 2, they have a robust emotional vocabulary. What does that mean? Basically, they know themselves, and they can identify how they're feeling. They don't just, well, I'm just feeling negative, or I'm just feeling bad. They know exactly what that means. Well, is that misunderstood? Is it agitated? Is it annoyed? They know how they feel, and you know, irritable, frustrated, downtrodden, anxious, or gleeful, blue. You know, they know, because they know themselves well enough. So they have a robust emotional vocabulary. That's number 2. Number 3 is they are assertive. People with high IQs, or EQs, rather, emotional intelligent quotient, balance good manners, empathy, and kindness with the ability to assert themselves and establish boundaries. Basically, assertiveness is win-win. A lot of people confuse assertiveness with aggressiveness. They're not the same. Aggressive means I win, you lose. If I'm aggressive, I win, you lose. Assertive, I win, you win. And assertiveness means, assertive basically means direct, honest, empathetic, and win-win. Those are the attributes or the traits of being assertive. And it involves boundaries too. If I'm assertive, I won't walk on you, but I won't allow you to walk on me either. The fourth one, they're curious about other people. Even if the person is introverted or extrovert, doesn't matter. The emotionally intelligent people are curious about people around them. And this curiosity is involved, steeped or based, I should say, in empathy. So it's basically having an awareness of other people, their plight, what they're going through, not just being selfish and ignoring what other people are going through. And by the way, Dr. Vicki, if you have any comments on any of these, feel free to jump in. Number five, they forgive, but they don't forget. Now, some people might take exception to that, but it's actually a healthy thing. Emotionally intelligent people live by the motto, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. They forgive people, but they don't forget. So, and I have another way of putting it. I've mentioned this in the program before. I will, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt until I have no reason to continue doing that. Or another way to put it, I will give you the benefit of the doubt until there's not a reason to do so anymore. So, you know, of course, yeah, assertive people or emotionally intelligent people are not stupid either. They're not just going to automatically trust somebody when there's red flags flying. But they will tend to trust people until there's not a reason to do so anymore. And they'll forgive, but they're not going to forget in the sense that they're going to be taken again or taken advantage of again. All right, so let's see. The next one is six. They won't let anyone limit their joy. This is truly the province of people who are complete within themselves. Well, battle this, but they're not going to allow other people to rob them of their joy. And I like the way that he puts this in this article. When your sense of pleasure and satisfaction are derived from comparing yourself to others, you are no longer the master of your own happiness. Quite a great quote there. And we're talking about, you know, them esteem. I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what other people think I'm doing. Or when I compare favorably or better than other people, then I feel good about me. So, but emotionally intelligent people won't let others limit their joy. They know who they are, why they are, who they are. Seven, they make things fun. You know, they try to turn monotonous work into a fun time. They'll be creative about that. They go the extra mile to make people they care about happy and so forth. Not in a codependent way, but in just a, let's lighten the mood. Number eight, they are difficult to offend. This is an important one, too. And he says, if you have a firm grasp of who you are, it's difficult for someone to say or do something that gets your goat. And we've talked about this on the program before. You know, look, what you think of me is none of my business. When they throw the ball, I don't have to catch it. If they throw an attack, I don't have to catch that. You know, it's not my stuff. I don't take ownership of stuff that's not mine to own. So they're difficult to offend. And that means they don't take themselves too seriously. That's a big one. It's the same thing. If you don't take yourselves too seriously, then you're going to be difficult to offend. Number nine, they squash negative self-talk. So they have a good self-concept. They don't deride themselves, put themselves down. They squash it. So hopefully you saw some of these traits in yourself, and if not, well, maybe you found some that you can work on as well. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
I think sometimes with emotional maturity, we do emotional catch-up. In other words, you know, you're a certain age, you're mentally sharp, physically sharp, but emotionally, I've seen a lot of people act like they're 8 years old, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
there's it's like to bring an emotional catch-up. It's to go back and pick up that part of yourself that's way back there, stuck, you know, kind of an emotional thing that inhibits your ability to have that emotional intelligence. So sometimes if you feel like, this is the only thing I could add, is if you feel like there's something that you're not quite getting or you're tripping over it, look at the emotional inhibition or, you know, some place that you lost that emotional maturity. And the older you take care of the younger you, and bring her or him up into the present so that there's a be here now emotionally, mentally, physically, and hopefully spiritually too.
Good points. All right, let's
We got a lot of cards to pick here.
Let's start then. Go ahead.
All right. You know, we do have Dr. Sandra, who listens in the archives. She unfortunately can't be here live. But I missed her last week.
Middle of the night in South Africa.
I know. And I missed her last week, and I'm so sorry about that. A little nudge reminder to us. And so that's the first card I am going to pick tonight. So for you, Dr. Sandra in South Africa, I have just selected number 23. It's in the spirituality suit, and it's meaning and purpose. So for you, when you get a chance to listen, the meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not what is the purpose of life, rather what is, what's the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or a lack thereof. So I think this is just a little, you know, tap on the shoulder of checking in with yourself and making that very clear distinction about you have the meaning of life, but the purpose can change. And it's your particular purpose, not like the big world, so to speak. So, hope that resonates with you, Dr. Sandra. And please I just want to say thank you very much for checking in with our archives. And it's there for anybody. If you miss a show, or you can't tune in for a week. You know, all of the, programs are, of course, on the website for anybody to see. So next we have Tabitha. Now, Michael, if you would like to join in at any point here, just, you know, let me know. But I'm just going to go ahead and pick Tabitha's card. This is just a little reminder for you, Tabitha. It's boundaries, number 6. I tell you, I need this once in a while myself. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it said, it is necessary to be aware of others and not to overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you're overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? You know, and very often, I can just add in here, Tabitha, is when I'm, you know, we're all coexisting with other people all the time. And when I sometimes think I want to say something, I ask myself, what do I hope to achieve by this? And it brings me right back to boundaries. You know, is this my place? Would any good come of it? So if it's not a discussion so much, it's more about giving unsolicited advice. You know, it's just one of those things that we're all learning about and constantly checking in with. So hope that resonates with you. Maybe it's just a little situation that you're facing. Okay. Ingeborg is next. Nice to have you here, Ingeborg. I'm going over left here in my big fan out of cards. Blocks. It's in the wild card suit. Blocks is an interesting, it's a really interesting vibration. This is what this says. There's a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Don't dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Certainly remain open. You know, this is twofold in my mind to you, Ingeborg. Sometimes we want things to really happen, but things aren't lined up yet. So we, you know, it feels like blocks. Equally, if I kind of have this little thing I go with three times and I just drop it until another opportunity comes. So if I keep putting effort into something that's not going anywhere, then there's blocks. And maybe the timing's not right or I'm not supposed to do that and not to be emotionally attached. But sometimes it's just important to sit still and just see where the energy is at. So hope that resonates with you too. All right. As we move along, we got Bridget here on the list. Bridget?
I think Michael wants to do one.
Well, sure. Do you want to do Bridget's? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pull a card for Bridget.
Actually, I have one here I pulled. It's wild card number 2, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can, reach deep within you to stretch to your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
And that's a good one.
It's one of my favorites, and I'm actually very happy that I pulled it today especially. I was reminded about that. And I think there's a lot of really key principles in here, but...
What was the face value again on that one, son?
Number two.
Mm-hmm. Face value. What does it say? What are the words?
The energy at hand is outside the norm.
No, keep going.
And then
what's the other word?
Wild card.
Yeah, that's the one.
And then some. Well, I just leaped in to pick one for our dear Dr. Angie, who is always with us. We're so grateful. And whose animal communication course is in progress. I have to throw that plug in for you, Dr. Angie. This one is sympathy and empathy. And I think, you know, for some things that you're dealing with right now, you might just, this might make sense to you. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills the kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so. But there is this interesting distinction between sympathy and empathy. And just because we might feel how others might feel, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to act on it, because now we go into a place of compassion. Compassion basically says, there's a situation here, how can I help and how do I lend to it? I know that you're dealing with a situation where a lot of people are, like, you have protagonists in your play while you're doing a very good deed for your late friend Betty. And I know Miss Betty's watching out for you, and because you're doing all the right things. But, you know, as you're, again, managing through all the stuff, I think this card resonates in some way. At least I can see that. I hope you do, too. Sympathy, empathy, number 32 in the service to self and others. We next have Fran on the list. You want to give that one a go, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And I picked number 22 in the spirituality suite. Think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. Well, I think it's wonderfully written.
You know,
go ahead.
I think that it probably a lot of us can, you know, see how that fits into some way too. You know, that is the point about the inner oracle self-discovery cards. It's to activate our consciousness and to kind of provoke us into thinking things in a little bit of a different way. And Fran just wrote on time. She liked that one too. So it certainly made sense for her. And I think that each of us is going to get, especially a card that's drawn for you, it's going to resonate for you with something that's forefront of your mind that also triggers the unconscious. For the rest of us, you know, we're saying, okay, that card wasn't for me, but boy, I can certainly connect with that one. You know, I can certainly understand it. So these are great cards. We have Gay next on the list, at least, you know, on my list in order. I hope that is Gay. Glad to have you here, Gay, by the way. This is number 12 in the existential suit for you. Spirit, cosmos, and divine energy. That's a powerful message, Gay. So here, drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role that you and they play. Wow, I think that this indicates to me, it's like an awakening. Sometimes it's as simple as a light bulb going on and saying, oh, wow, I didn't see it that way before. Wow, you know, I get it. Sometimes this can also mean something a little more interesting. Like you wake up one morning and you say, I could have been downloaded with some information last night. So there's a growing consciousness. So good for you.
And what was the face value on that one again?
Number 12, spirit, cosmos, and divine energy.
Thanks.
Now, the last on my list that I have here is Zach. And what I would like to do, a little experiment, if that's all right with you, Michael. I would like
absolutely
to choose a card, and I would like you to also choose a card so that we have kind of a synchronicity or a symbiotic, is that the word I'm looking for? Relationship that we can get into what would be the right word for that?
Symbiotic, yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks, good. It was on the tip of my brain, but so if we can maybe see how that works together. So
yeah,
I'm picking
idea.
One, you pick one. Wow, I got a cool one. Let's see what you got.
All right, I picked actually number 13 in the existential suite, positive consciousness.
Well, you're going to love this.
And
I got number 14. You got number 13. I got number 14. I love this. So you read yours first.
Positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Wow. I love how this is happening for you, Zach. This next card, number 14, is Energy Shift, New Chapter. So listen up. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. So we have that positive consciousness moving into a new chapter with a big energy shift. I think that's very exciting. I know that you just started your new blog. You have some new efforts going on. And you're sharing yourself as an educational role in matters of MS, sharing your experiences. But also in your life, also as a spiritual teacher. And I think that while you're making, it's kind of like walking across a bridge into a new world. I think it's very exciting. You know, I love these cards. They always tell a story, don't they? It's awesome.
They do. It's funny how they all work together, go hand in hand, because that's to be expected, I guess. So, anyone else that we missed that would like a card pulled.
Do you have anyone else there, Michael?
Not that I saw, but if we did miss anybody, please throw it in chat. For maybe a change of pace, Dr. Hunter, if you could pull a card for me, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Okay. I have my cards in front of me going into the center. Oh, Michael, this is relationships. All right. In the life skills suit, number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. Of course, we know that you know that, but they are not dependent or codependent, accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. That's interesting, hey? Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. And don't be judgmental. Well, we know you're not that either. But otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. See, this is what's really important. These little tiny words in here, it's not always what we think. It can be not about people, but about things. So as things are relating in your life and removing something that's not necessarily working for you. So, yeah. I think it's a great reminder and for all of us, too.
Absolutely. It's actually kind of crazy how applicable that is to several different things.
Oh, good.
I'm not saying anything.
I think that's great. That's great. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead and then I'll jump in.
No, I was just going to say one last call out to anybody who would like a card read. Please write your name quickly now because we're coming up on our time. And we don't like to miss anybody because then I have to remember for next week and I tend to forget these things. So
yeah. She's past 28, but not past 29.
Errol says he'd like a card for everyone.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well,
Michael, let's do this together again, shall we?
Yeah.
I'll pick one, and you'll pick one.
All right. All right. I guess I'll go first here. I have picked wild card number 5. Don't
Ooh,
hate.
Good one. All right.
So fitting for the times. All right. What card do you have?
I have expediency number 43. Interesting. Mm. We haven't picked that one for a long time.
No.
Just like we haven't picked Don't Hate for a long time.
Yeah, both of those are.
So go ahead. Big message for all of us, and we all ought to put our ear to it here.
Oh, yeah. Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others.
That's a great reminder. You know, look, we're living in some pretty crazy times, and it's, you know, that's a little tap on the shoulder, hello. But then we go into, listen to this, timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now, suffer longer, and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails. And the wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should when you should do it. So I think this is a little message that not to occupy ourselves with things that don't resonate with the frequency that we want. We want to raise our frequency, and we have to tune in to ourselves and the frequency that we want out there and create it. Watch our timing and send out those good vibes and act on them. You know, it's not just sitting around meditating for, you know, world peace. Mm-hmm. We also have to participate in little things like paying it forward. You know, it's our activity. So whether you're taking on a big project or it's just things that you do in your daily life, timing is everything. So,
all right. One of our cards is Do No Harm. Forget which number that is. I just want to use that as a backdrop to talk about some server things. And I'm sure that most people did not even notice, but I spent many, many hours on last Sunday and Monday dealing with hackers on the server, and more of an annoyance hacker than anything. They gain access, how I'm not exactly sure, but they did, and they put up a splash page on, basically you instead of seeing our website, you see a page that says your site's been hacked, blah blah blah. One guy even linked his Facebook page where, you know, I went to it, and he's just got a list of all the sites he's hacked. There was nothing malicious about it, and of course we don't have anything on our server that's of value to anyone. We don't store credit cards or anything. We use a gateway to process tuition payments and donations, so we don't even have access to that information anyway. Our gateways use secure servers. So, you know, I spent several hours Sunday, and then another attack on Monday morning. Both Sunday morning it happened, and Monday morning different dude did it. And I was on the computer at the time, and I was able to quickly get rid of it and fix it. And then I worked with my web host, to scan our site to see any suspicious files, which they identified, and I was able to take care of those. And then I removed any old files that were no longer used. And so far, so good. Hopefully we removed any of those backdoors that they were using. But the reason I brought up Do No Harm is because these jokers out there, and many others in different ways, all get a real thrill. You know, that one guy's Facebook page was like, you know, another notch on his belt. You know, look at me, look how special I am, because I was able to hack a website and upload a file, and, you know, man, I'm skilled, I'm special, I can do something. So these people are spending all this effort and this energy to harm rather than to help. And the unfortunate part about this great radio program that we do here and everything we teach is that it doesn't reach the people who need it the most. I mean, we reach people and people benefit, but these people out there in the world who are doing harm could benefit greatly. You know, I'm ISIL and terrorist groups and all that, white supremacists, KKK, neo-Nazis, all these hate groups could benefit. Somehow they think they're special and they have to, you know, it's a gang mentality. Even those in gangs, you know, they have to belong, and they all belong to something, and that something is doing harm. It's not helping people. And so, anyway, long story short, I've taken steps to try to ensure that our site's not hacked again, and hopefully it'll work. It's just an ongoing battle all the time. You always have to be vigilant, keep everything up to date. But that's the lesson we can take. I mean, all we have to do is look at the news, the presidential elections, and we can see what not to do, how not to hurt people, how not to be a racist, how not to be a misogynist, how not to be critical, an elementary school bully, you know, calling names, those kinds of things. Those things are way below us, beneath all of us. It's beneath our dignity. And so we can learn lessons like this from life, and make a commitment to ourselves that we have more self-respect and more dignity than that, and we adhere to all the things we talk about on this program about rising above and treating other people well. Because the person who doesn't know themselves and not aware of who they are, that doesn't have that emotional intelligence, they're the ones who belittle others, denigrate others, put others down, just because they're different somehow. And so that's all I wanted to say on that. All right, did I miss anything in the chat while I was rambling on here?
Don't hate.
Yeah, don't hate. There you go. See, it's all
and timing is everything.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we appreciate everybody's kind attention to start that music, son, and we appreciate you tuning in to our program. It's good to see so many there in the chat room, and I appreciate those who are listening to the archives as well. And if you have a topic that you'd like to see discussed, you know, shoot me an email, admin@icmhchurch.org, or if you're a student in our schools, you can just send it to the usual address that we have there. It all gets here. So we appreciate that. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael for your help and support on this. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.